Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, J.C. Shervert. Welcome in, J.C.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Yeah, man, doing well. Had a fun Happy Meter extravaganza there in the morning show. That was fun. I like it when it's tight like that. It was nice to just like, yeah, throw your numbers out there. What does it matter?
I had a few things to say, but I won't revisit it.
No.
I was just doing it for brevity's sake. Right.
That's right.
So anyway, it is Wide Open Wednesday. I am JC Shervert. He is Phil Mullinax, as we discussed earlier in the opener. So we're going to get into the McKellar Enterprises chat box quite a bit. And I mentioned Oklahoma at the top of the other hour. Micah, who always has great college football opinions, says South Carolina can learn from Oklahoma, but what other program is like Oklahoma? Most smaller states aren't historically great. Well, it depends. You know, if you're talking about being good at everything, or being good at one thing and competitive and pretty good at another. I mean, so like, what's an everything school that's consistently good at everything in the SEC? I think you could say Florida now, because yeah, baseball's been good for the last 20 years since O'Sullivan got there. Basketball took a dip under Mike White, but they were still an NCAA tournament team. Mm-hmm. Billy Donovan and Todd Golden's tenure speak for itself. Football's not that good right now. Had a lot of winning seasons, but I think everybody recognizes the potential of it. I think two coaches have won there of all time. So maybe not Florida, but, you know, Tennessee has wanted to be good at everything, you know. So those are larger states. So when you're talking about everything, that's the Ohio States of the world. And most of those are located in big states outside of Oklahoma. When you're talking about, like, though, when it comes to state population, can you be good at football, good at baseball, and good most of the time in basketball and everything else? It can be done. I don't think anybody would, and you know, different setups are different, right? Like in Louisiana, which is about a million people behind South Carolina, LSU has it stayed all to itself, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. You know, whereas Kentucky, believe it or not, is a pretty divided state. There are a bunch of Louisville fans. Mm-hmm. Most of them live around Louisville and in Kentucky. So, you know, with a population of, what, 4.6, this is according to Wikipedia in 2025, it's there. What Oklahoma makes it an outlier is it's, you do have Oklahoma State in the state, but it's 4.123. You know, but there are some examples, Micah, of states, you know, according to this, South Carolina's 23rd in population nationally, 6th amongst the SEC states. Alabama and Auburn, Alabama has a smaller population than South Carolina by a couple of mil. Actually, it's up to like 4 million now. By a couple hundred thousand. It's up to like 400,000 now. Have both had championship level moments in various sports. They've been to Final Fours in basketball. They've been to Omaha in baseball. Good at women's sports. And, you know, obviously have national championships and things in the trophy case in football. Auburn's fallen on hard times. I'm kind of convinced that Auburn, sort of their dysfunction and proclivity to, I think that's the word, proclivity or tendency to
propensity.
Propensity to fire coaches caught up with them in that sport. And so, you know, that's an example of a split state where you got to do. And then there's on the other side of it, though, Micah, there's examples of other states where, you know, like Arizona State, good athletic programs, you know, pretty decent. You know, Arizona State's got a history in baseball. That's about it. They're classically underachieving. Arizona obviously is a basketball school and has had a lot of big moments in baseball, football, not so much. It's the 14th largest state in America. I don't think anybody would argue that the Virginia schools, the 12th largest state in America, have been good. They do have to split it. Now, New Jersey has one state university that is called Rutgers, and they're god awful. You know, North Carolina, 12 million people. UNC's good at everything but football, really, if you want to get right down to it. You know, but Illinois, historically, they're good now, but historically, they are terrible at football. They have less wins than South Carolina. And then you can't count like New York, because New York's not really a football state, and most of those 20 million people are kind of shoved and onto the islands. you know, and all that. So it does go both ways. I mean, I think that if you're South Carolina, you know, the Oklahoma thing is a case study. Not only like, I mean, you have to probably have to deep dive historically into it, you know, and not just accept, well, they're great because they've always been great. What made them great? Now, maybe there's some things built in, baked into the cake in Oklahoma. Like I mentioned, the oil and gas industry, that supports them financially. So they've had the money to invest. Oklahoma's never hurt for money.
Right. You
know, that's something true there. Maybe the proximity to the Dallas Metroplex is just so, even though it's across state borders, it's just such an advantage, you know, that it doesn't matter. But then, you know, South Carolina is close to Atlanta, which is not as large as the Metroplex, but, you know, they're close to hotbeds of talent as well.
Well, so, how long has OK State been like competing in sports to a level? You know, I mean, Oklahoma State, because that's the other thing is like they're, I feel like Oklahoma spent a long time just kind of essentially as the only university in the state that was doing anything so much athletically. Not
really. No? Oklahoma State's been good. No, Oklahoma State hadn't been Oklahoma, but they've been good. Did you remember? I was with Nat. I think it was after the 20.
No, I mean,
they were in the Fiesta Bowl under Mike Gundy.
Yeah, no, I do remember that. Like farther back than that, like, you know, because Oklahoma you can trace back for a long time, right?
Yeah,
but when did like Oklahoma State start making noise? Because I think
they used to be called Oklahoma A&M.
A&M. Okay. Yeah.
And so
I bring that up because it was like here in our state, we all know there are basically two major universities, right? But both have been on the athletic scene for essentially as long as the other, because they're both very older and well-established schools. So that's why I was like, I think that's one thing that Carolina actually – you're having to fight against yourself to a certain extent because you've got the team up here in the upstate that is fighting against you at every turn in every sport.
Yeah. Oklahoma State's been like football's had their moment. I mean, Gundy obviously was good until he wasn't. And that was a great tenure. I mean, Jimmy Johnson used to coach at Oklahoma State. They have 55 national championships in sports, but 34 of those are in wrestling.
Okay, right.
12 are in golf. 6 are in cross country. They won 2 basketball titles in 45 and 46.
Okay.
And a baseball title in 59. Now, have they been consistently pretty good in baseball, football, and men's basketball over the years? Yes. I mean, they have expectations at Oklahoma State, but they live in the shadow of Oklahoma. I mean, they're kind of similar to. They're like a bigger Georgia Tech, I think.
I got you.
Georgia Tech's, and both are kind of smaller. I mean, Oklahoma State's not a big school, student population wise compared to Oklahoma, and all that good stuff. So it's interesting. It's an interesting case study, I think, just because, you know, Mike is right in the sense that so much of success in college athletics has been, you know, where are you located? Location, location, location. Now, there's some outliers. Nebraska built a dominant football program with, and most of the in-state guys, Tom Osborne used to recruit, were part of the I think they called them the Black Shirts walk-on. They're walk-ons. And it's crazy, Phil, because they would build the most feared offensive lines in the country.
Right.
And yeah. I swear to God, three of those players were like walk-ons from Nebraska, farm boys. It was genius what they
farm did. Strong. Right. Yeah. That's what you got.
Farm strong, but they can't get by with that now because everybody's farm strong in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Right.
So that Ghost Flame checks in. Says, with an actual college OC, I hope we're scoring points in bunches. If the D and special teams can hold steady, look out. Sellers gets a New York invite. Just kidding. No pressure. I think the defense, when you look at it, you know, the secondary, they can't afford injuries back there. Obviously, some players need to step up. But the front looks good. And that can mask a lot of – if there are deficiencies on the back end, that can mask it. But, you know, we'll see. You know, with this style of offense, too, you have to keep in mind, for those of you that love stats, and we all love stats and data, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Some, though, use it as like, hard and fast criticism. I think it's because of fantasy football, Phil.
Yeah.
You know, this guy only had three catches. Well, you know, two of them were for touchdowns and one won the game. Yeah, but he... Yeah, your fantasy team's not going to benefit from that. Yeah,
but that's not wide receiver one numbers.
Yeah, RW1, you know. And so I'll just tell you, if South Carolina's offense is working as anticipated, the Gamecocks are probably going to give up more points on defense. That's the nature of it. I don't even know why sometimes, but like Alabama, when they started going fast and came into the 21st century, they would have some defensive games where they just shut people out, right? But you notice that, you know, they did a lot more 45-20 type wins than, you know, 33-0, which I think 33-0 is more humiliating if you're another team.
For sure.
In the ASO soccer world we live in. Oh, he scored. Good.
That's right.
Good job. That's a great feeling. Harrison's said Georgia's fans are mad going one and done in the college football playoff. They are. They do blame Mike Bobo for a lot, even though Mike Bobo, by any measurable standard, eyeball test, whatever you want to talk about. I know some Carolina fans think he's awful. I'm like, I don't know what you expected him to do.
Right.
That year, he had one receiver and, let's just say, some issues at quarterback and a revolving door. And then they lost Marshawn Lloyd, who was supposed to start at the beginning of the year, that Kevin Harris kind of came out of nowhere. So, and Harrison said the way they lost to Ole Miss was super frustrating. Yeah, and losing to Ole Miss doesn't sit well with the Georgia faithful. I'll say this, though. I know a lot of Georgia people, man, and it's like when Kirby won those two titles – it was like relief because we just talked about programs that are always good. Well, how about programs that should be good? Georgia. Yeah, they should be great. They have every advantage. They do have to share their state with Georgia Tech, but they get just, you know, there's not a lot of Georgia Tech fans that even live in Atlanta because they get these advanced engineering degrees. Georgia Tech played a bowl game in Seattle 20 years ago. They had 12,000 people there. Because there's that many alums in Seattle because of the tech hub, technology hub. And so they get it all themselves. I mean, Atlanta itself has a ton of SEC alums and stuff, but the Dogs dominate down there. And it's got a crap ton of good football players. Plus, it's a very attractive place to go to school, always has been. They've always recruited in the top 10. Every coach that's ever been there recruits a bunch of great players to Georgia. But it had been 41 years since they won a national title. Like, people have, you know, who may have unfortunately passed away early, had a whole life in there where they did not see Georgia win a national title. So when they won it, it was such a relief for those folks. I think Kirby, no matter what he does, and there'll be people call up Sports Talk Radio and stuff and complain. But I don't think they're like Alabama fans where – you almost hear quiet. You hear the movers and shakers move quietly, but the normal folks, the average folks out there, get really loud with every loss. Georgia people get loud with a loss, but most of them are just wow, they still can't believe they won those two titles.
Right.
And then, you know, it's been when Mark Richt won the SEC in 2002, his second year, that was their first SEC title in 22 years.
Yeah.
They had like a Clemson ACC title type break in there. And there was no reason for it. None. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for Georgia to not win the SEC. And a lot of it's because of Steve Spurrier.
I was going to say, except for maybe '90s.
Yeah, and Philip Fulmer. But they, but Georgia, you know, and so now back-to-back SEC championships, they've beaten, you know, Texas kind of sticks in their crawl because of some recruiting things. They've beaten the crap out of Texas twice.
Yep.
Both regular seasons weren't even close. And then with their backup quarterback, they broke their hearts in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So I agree with you, Harrison, as far as that loss goes. And you can't do it too many more times. Because then it becomes a trend. Like, oh, Kirby Smart and our beloved dogs are going downhill. Mm. Harold. Well, Bart, I'll tell you this right now. If Kirby Smart does not, well, he can go take the Falcons job. When's he going to get rid of that Mike Bobo?
That Mike Bobo. Daryl. Why do we keep letting him come back?
Yeah. Hey, he needs to move on. Go back to South Carolina. I remember this old dog one time before. what was it? It was the 97 game. Because I was in college. I drove down. We stopped at Greens. And that was back when they had the mini bottle law.
Right? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this old dog was sitting out there holding a tumbler. I guess he was tailgating at Greens because it used to get real packed. You had people parking. It's like, boy, how y'all doing? Go dogs. And he's like, I'll tell you this right now about South Carolina. When you get a drink, it's a drink. The mini bottles.
Yep. When you get a drink, it's a drink.
McKell Enterprises chat box rolls on a wide open Wednesday. Blake says, Missouri might be worse for the sound systems. They microphone their band to generate false noise. I wish Kentucky would mic the band. I couldn't hear them the last time. We were sitting behind the Carolina band, which is my poor wife. She doesn't like, she can be in a loud crowd, but like loud, sudden noises. So we sat down and then all of a sudden the snare drum start hitting. She's like, oh my God. And then Kentucky is like, y'all gonna make me lose my mind up. And even when they were getting, the game was over. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
That's all an awful football atmosphere. And Mike's right. Their fans show up. They get 65,000 a game in there for Kentucky football. They like football.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, you know, that they need to do something about that. I don't know who decided that. They need to be fired. That's what makes me thankful for South Carolina's crew, because it weren't for the grace of God. You know, some of these people that get some of these jobs in college sports at other schools, sometimes around here it's happened in the past. I mean, they're total clowns. They don't understand the tradition. They don't understand sports. It's a show for them. It's an artistic endeavor. Mm-hmm. They're going to put their stamp on it, and their stamp sucks. So be thankful for Justin King and the entire creative team at South Carolina. Just, you know, be thankful when you say your prayers. Cam says, do y'all think we land Dobson? As of right now, yeah, I think so.
That's good.
But, I mean, you just never know these days. And this next thing from Cam is going to be a pretty good question. I have to pull this up. So he says, according to the 24/7 sports rankings, are we really going to use their – I wouldn't use their what they're emphasizing now, which is their rankings. I think that's ridiculous because we've, as an industry, we've been on composite now for a while. I don't know what calls that, because theirs really are no better than anyone else's. But half of them are bad in my opinion, but you know, I can pick apart recruiting rankings with the best of them all day. So let's go with the rivals industry. So we need to be fair.
Team rankings.
And go with the player. We're looking at player.
Oh, players. Okay, player.
The rivals 300. Boom. And let's go. Well, how do we get to search players? Well, now let's just go. Where are player rankings at? I don't want that. I want player rankings. Recruits. Rivals 300. All right, all states. Here we go. So South Carolina. Will you get a drink in the 90s? This will drink. So Jaden Bryant, he went to Miami. And that's the money. And I don't think Carolina should have paid him. I think that, you know, Miami's got a way of spending and they don't really care who busts and who's good. Most of their success with D linemen's come through the portal. He's a 6'3", 260-pound edge. So if you're going to throw a bunch of money at somebody and take them to South Beach and they're not a finished product, which he's far from is, is he going to have the desire and the toughness to slide inside? It took us to get to 295, which he could be elite there. Or is he going to be able to cut weight a little bit and get a little quicker and leaner to play edge in their defensive system? That's my question. Seth Tillman from South Point. That's a tough one because Carolina kind of made a move. It's South Point. You expect them to get kids from South Point. I never got the sense, and he'd probably tell you this himself, you just never got the sense Carolina led for him. I mean, because you almost were like, well, there's a South Point D tackle coming up. Carolina will get him. And as we found out with Darion Kendrick a couple of years ago, who played at Clemson and Georgia, who went to sign with Clemson out of high school, Clemson's going to get some guys every now and then. It's tough for Clemson to get players out of Rock Hill, but – they're going to get guys. I mean, their program is too good to expect, you know, them to, when Carolina wants anybody Clemson wants, the few that they do, you know, Clemson's just not going to get them. So that's when I think about big picture in-state recruiting, that's acceptable. You know, that's like, that's different than Tamarian Watkins going to A&M. You know, I think, it sounds crazy because of the rivalry. You don't want them to get a player, you know, because they're your rivals and all that. But there's something to be said for keeping it in state. And you know, there are certain players in the state that are going to be very good that are going to go to Clemson over South Carolina. That's something you have to accept and work around. Trey Sagara, the LSU commit. I would just keep my eye on that one. Jaden Kelly Murray, apparently, is the fourth rated player in the state. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not on the rivals industry. Stupid. I don't think he's the fourth rated player in the state. I think the kid at all right. So here we go. Back to rivals industry. So the top three remain unchanged. Aiden Gibson went to Penn State. Carolina backed off of him. He wasn't a guy they pushed for from Woodruff, the running back from Woodruff. So that's number four. Number five, Nate Carson. Gamecocks could get him in the end. Can't say they really lead. I don't know that there is a leader. Some people say Georgia, some people say Carolina. I think that's kind of fair. He had a great official visit. We were told at the end it's probably Carolina, but that probably ain't going to get it done. Trey Wembley, a wide receiver from Daniel, is going to Clemson.
Shocker.
That's where he goes. Daniel High School. High School, man. I mean, you get a kid out of Daniel to come to Carolina. That guy, probably his blood is garnet and black. Cut him open.
Right. Somebody's parents moved them there.
Amari Patterson is the seventh-ranked player in the state, and he did not have an opportunity at South Carolina and otherwise would have been there. Jaden Kelly Murray's eighth. Once he decided to kind of shop around, South Carolina said, all right, see you. Wasn't going to re-recruit him, and they're not going to. 09, Niner, Shannon Harris, going to Syracuse from Burns. Kind of an outlier as the number 9 player in the state. Carolina did not offer. Number 10, Jaden Worth from Dutch Fork. Carolina offered him. They didn't really – yeah, all right. They didn't push. I mean, then at the end, they kind of pushed. Really good player going to Clemson, staying in state. 11, Ty Johnson from Lucy Beckham and Mount Pleasant is a Georgia legacy. His parents went to Georgia. There's a lot of Georgia alums down in the Charleston area, so he's going to go be a Dog. And, you know, Georgia, if a kid, you know, there's going to be kids that cross the border and go to Georgia. You just don't want a bunch of them to. Ty Phillips was a move-in, the running back from Irmo. He's going to Alabama. Carolina never really recruited him. And then 13 is Aiden Wiggins from Burns. You could make a case Carolina maybe should have gone on him earlier. Committed to Auburn. Carolina's trying to flip him. So, I mean, I look at it and I'm like, you know, Jackson Ross is a player they're in. He's ranked 21st, the linebacker from over at Hammond. James Ross is 23rd. I think Rivals is much higher on him than 24/7. I think he's 11th in the Rivals rankings. You know, the guy I really like is Tony Watkins' kid from Rock Hill, Caden Watkins. He's just size is an issue there. You know, Franklin Richardson, the quarterback from Sumter. If they happen to not make a flip or something, you know, they could end up taking him as a running back. So, you know, all is not lost, but, you know, there's specific reasons for all these guys. And that's that. I'm not making excuses. Those aren't excuses. Those are reasons. And it could have been different if they weren't coming off a 4-8 and establishing, you know, running into the headwinds. But honestly, man, with the changes they've made and getting these players back and stuff, they're maybe better set up to make a run this year than last year. So we may end up looking back and going, that was a pretty good trade.
Yeah.
The suffering.
Right.
Jay Frew, thanks for the kind words. I feel the same about you. He said, for those who have never met any of the guys, JC is the most genuine salt of the earth guy.
He is indeed. Can confirm.
Salt of the earth. Micah, I wanted to ask Mike about the state of college sports. He hates it, but he'll watch anyway. I can watch what I hate.
So, yeah, it's frustrating, but, you know, it is what it is.
So there we go. Jeff Lynn says he hopes Lane Kiffin goes 1-11 and, of course, win that first one. Dude, I could see that ending up kind of like Ohio State and Virginia Tech a few years ago. Like, oh, there's going to be all this hype about Kiffin's first game. Do you remember that? Remember when Spurrier came to South Carolina? Do you remember that first game was against George O'Leary and UCF? Oh,
yeah, that's UCF, yeah.
And, in fact, the running back for UCF that night is now LSU's running backs coach, Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
And he had a good game. Well, remember Carolina was up 14-0 in the blink of an eye, 17-0. They were like Spurrier at the Swamp. Well, the final score of that game is 24-15. LSU people are going to be jacked out of their minds. It's the only big game on, right? Basically. There's a couple of more. But, dude, nothing like the smorgasbord we had last year. But, man, I'll tell you this. Clemson has enough skill talent. And LSU is not loaded like they probably will be down the road. And if Chad Moore's come up with a great game plan, which it's been a while, right? But, you know, their quarterback, Vizzini.
Chris, I think Vizzini. It is.
Yeah. He's got a good arm. He threw for 317 yards against SMU in his one start last year. You know, you still got those receivers that are really good. Wesco's back healthy. The thing that Clemson's got this year that's different than last year, they have speed at running back, like very fast. Gideon Davidson and then the kid, I think Chris Thompson, that came in from SMU. Really fast backs. So you can see a world where if their defense can hang in there with a rebuilt secondary and they've got a good D-line, Sam Levitt, let's just say he's not that good. LSU's kind of just so-so at receiver. You can see Clemson winning a fourth quarter game down there. Or ambushing them with a game plan because they're locked in because they're holding hands, believing in Dabo again, and they win the game. Just like LSU did to Clemson last year.
I was going to say, like, it, the reverse script of what happened last
Neither
year.
Neither team was all that good. No. You know? But but that's what happened. And I just – something about that game, it's got 11.5-point spread, and I'm like – and I don't – even my Clemson friends don't have huge expectations for them this year. They think it's kind of a transition year to get to the next year. But – well, I mean, that was not NFL draft picks, but –
true.
I that game, if I'm LSU, and I know that they're not, I know none of them are taking it seriously. And think, I'll add this final point and we got to get a break. Didn't Ole Miss play Washington State at home last year and almost lose?
Almost, yes. Mm-hmm. There's always like...
Sometimes like Lane Kiffin's team beat Arkansas by 7 last year at Arkansas.
They're known to fall asleep at the wheel.
And Clemson's not a joke. I mean,
no, right. No.
As much as we hope they become one, you know,
they're still, but
they're going to look at it like that. LSU right. People are like, well, we're going to beat y'all like a piece of jambalaya. Tiger. Tiger's going to beat the Tiger. Stop playing your stupid version of Tiger Rag. All right. So, folks, we only got one more week until it's Nike time in Gamecock Land. Check out Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com for your Carolina Nike gear. We'll be back. I'm going to roll through the rest of the chat box. Tristan Sill mentions a Brad Crawford prediction. Boy, it wouldn't be June without one of these beauties.
Wouldn't be. That's right. Yeah. Tell me it's summer without telling me it's summer.
Yeah, bro. love Brad, man. But this is interesting. And we'll be right back after this on the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. I'm about to dive in here to some preseason predictions. Looks like our friend Brad Crawford has put out a win-loss prediction for Carolina, coming in at, 7-5? I'm looking at the video now.
He there's the first video.
Well, everybody's... Anyway, there's everybody's doing videos now, JC. That's the way it works. The Bama is the first loss number 2 coming at Florida, which okay, that means you win against Mississippi State and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. You go 2-2 to open the SEC. He says you win against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming this is going to be a loss to Oklahoma.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, loss. Mm-hmm. 3-3 on the record for the conference. A&M, loss. And
Arkansas would be a loss, I guess.
Yeah, he put Arkansas as a loss as well.
And then Georgia as a win.
Yeah, he had Georgia as a win and Clemson as a win.
So 7-5, 4-5. You know, that's... plausible. I mean, except for the Arkansas game, dude. I mean,
there's, I feel like, yeah, that's the 8-4, right? Like,
there's nothing about that game that says. Now, look, if you got to factor in what you know too, and I'm not standing on. I mean, I think it's a preposterous prediction right now when you look at the two rosters, but. You don't know what's going to happen in November. It's out there. It's sandwiched around huge games, right? In theory. Let's hope it's not a huge game for Carolina, unless Arkansas is like surprisingly really good. And I'd be happy for them if they were, you know, that'd be make my heart warm. Cause we spent all day talking about how bad they were.
Right.
it's been tough, but, you know, you got what you know, and if you look at Shane Beamer's tenure, sometimes it's been marked by inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I don't know that 2024 team, which is what this roster compares to more than the others, plus there's a new offensive coordinator, unlike in 2022, that crazy, you know, mad scientist.
Right, yeah.
You just... 2024 was a very consistent outfit for the first time under Shane Beamer. But if you're kind of looking at that going, well, you know, typical Carolina. They're gonna lose at Arkansas, fall to 3-5 in the league, and there's gonna be all this negativity. And then Beamer's gonna rally the troops, and they're gonna upset the dogs at home, and then go on and beat Clemson, kind of like they did in 2022. I think the 2022 Carolina football team had tons of additional deficiencies to this one, not the least of which was the offensive coordinator that we saw for 10 games that
year. Right.
I mean, you're just not a good coach, man. If you go out there and try to do what you did against Florida, an average Florida team, an average, I don't think they went to a bowl. Did they? Did they go to a bowl? Maybe. No, they didn't. They did not. No. That was Napier's only bowl year. That was Napier. You lose to those guys by 32 points. And you kept running the ball right into their 421-pound defensive tackle. Who about killed Spencer Rattler?
Right.
You know, me and you got all these receivers on the field. Open it up, bro. The 13 personnel ain't working today. You know, and then that defense that year, unfortunately, struggled to stop the run, definitely. And they did struggle to stop the run. But sometimes when your defense isn't stopping them, a good idea is, instead of saying, well, you know, going back and looking at what the NFL coaches do and just trying to run clock and play keep away, you just got to go put points on the board.
Yeah.
No, eventually, you'll get them stopped and off the field, or they'll make a mistake, and it's a shootout, and so be it. You should give you a chance. Instead, you got beat 38-6, and you got shut out. Now, look at the players and look at the results of the year. That was an outlier, you know? I mean, that South Carolina team, and by the end of the year, could put points on the board against anybody. And so that he's gone. He's been gone, you know? The coordinator last year is gone as well.
That's right.
And so the hope is there's not those inconsistencies, especially with a guy that's in the fourth year in your program and, you know, a 3-year starter quarterback. Now, if there's injuries, especially to significant players, maybe like, you know, if Lenoris goes out, that's the type of year I think you're looking at, you know, with Cutter Woods as a quarterback. I mean, just to be honest, and you may lose to Arkansas. But yeah, I don't know. I get it though, because he's looking at all that. Harrison says if Carolina beats Georgia and Clemson, they will finish 9-3 or better. So with the losses, here's what I'm not buying. I'm not necessarily buying an automatic loss at Bama. You guys know that.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's kind of my LSU type game this year. Like before 24, I was like, now it's on the road at night in Tuscaloosa. That's not going to be easy. Is the uniforms and the 101,000 down there enough to make you crap your pants? I think sometimes everybody still remembers when Bama was Nick Saban, Bama good. I understand picking a loss at Florida because Carolina just hadn't won there a whole lot. And I know I just said 2022 Florida wasn't relevant. And Florida's got players, and if Summerall can coach team pretty good and get them playing well, they've got a really tough schedule before they play the Gamecocks. But going down there, yeah, it's not going to be easy. It's a noon kickoff, though, I think. I think that one is at noon, right, Phil?
Yeah, it is. That's called early window. Yeah,
When Florida's messed up at home and that place isn't quite as magical, and especially if they've dropped a couple of games, it's a little sleepy. Houston Nutt and Ole Miss went down there and beat them the Tebow championship year in 08. That was one of the best Florida teams I've ever seen. And that's when Tebow gave the famous speech.
Yep. You know?
And that was a noon kickoff. When a bad, wounded, just fired Dan Enos Arkansas team went down there 2 years ago and Rocket Sanders had his one big game, that was a noon kickoff. So I think the time is an advantage for the game. Gamecocks, last time they won there, it was a noon kickoff when Dylan Thompson pulled it around the edge. So noon, it's not as tough, but, you know, we'll see. Ghost Flame says, that sounds so Carolina. Yeah, no doubt. by the way, I have seen this about Tyler Shoemaker, the the recruiting coordinator for the baseball team. I was just distracted by a Chris Marler tweet that mentioned me in it. I'm like, who? What's he saying about me?
Yeah, that's right. Wait.
I hope I hadn't said anything to offend him. No, it was actually talking about it. I had an article today, Barnyard Bits, with some inside info on the football
team. Good. I got to read that.
Subscribe for $1. Yeah. But he did have it's their version of the welcome home tweet. If I hear back from Bradford about he's efforting that for us, I'll mention it on there. If not, check out thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com for $1. But it'll be everywhere. Carolina Titans says Vandy's only been relevant the last 2 years in everything. Yeah, it's high times in Nashville.
Yeah, they're
for some reason they figured it out up there. Their athletic director's pretty savvy. Philip says, I think $5 sushi from Publix is good. It depends on the definition of good. So anyway,
I don't know about $5 sushi, man. My daughter eats that pre-made sushi from the grocery store. I can't get behind that. Can't support that.
Yeah. Sushi?
I like sushi, but not the $5 prepackaged grocery store sushi.
It's just something about seeing the guy in the hat back there making it.
Yeah.
With the little rice and the tiny meats. And it's just beautiful. It's artistic.
It is.
It makes it better. Quantrell says, my uncle, RIP, used to harp on Columbia back in the day, denying banks and pushing them to Charlotte. Hence why Charlotte exploded. I've heard about that too. Wonder if those banks settling in Columbia would help NIL now. Or just any kind of funding for the university. Because it all comes out of kind of the same pot. There was an article today about Jeremiah Donati talking about jersey patches. Basically, the gist of it was there's no jersey patch deal right now.
Right.
Because those deals are going to be – I mean, you're going to have to pay millions to get that on there. So, and I did mention Nike has some, like, protocols – for doing that. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Blah, 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 blah. I thought Kentucky was the bluegrass state. Since when do they start playing DMX? Oh, you get a lot of hip hop in that stadium. And I like hip hop, just not when their marching band's playing the fight song and the DJ overpowers them.
Yeah. That I don't understand that. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Harrison chimes in on Jaden Worth. He was from Georgia that came to Carolina to play high school at Dutch Fork. So, hey, there you go. He's a transfer. Daryl asks, I haven't mentioned Avion Lewis. Yeah, okay, so I think he's better than Amari Patterson.
Oh.
South Carolina plays, speaking of Kentucky, every single year, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky. I don't think you wanted him to go to Kentucky. I think he's good enough to hurt you down the road. He liked South Carolina. The Gamecocks kind of scrambled their board a little bit after the Patterson thing and moved on him. They've been working him behind the scenes for a while. So there you go. And Krager says it's Chris Vezina, Clemson quarterback. Xavier says Clemson can be dangerous if they start Chris Denson. Nah, I don't think they will. You know, Dabo's not going to do that. So we'll see. Cam's going to be in Clemson this weekend for the Morgan Wallen concert. So is Craig's son's going too. Well, people, how do you get George Strait and Morgan Wallen in the same year? Carolina's going to start having concerts now because they got
after the remodel. I think you may see some of that shift.
Xavier says, I think Denson's a better fit for Chad Morris's offense than Velveeta. There we go. Zero Velveeta. So Xavier said preseason predictions 10-2 losses to Alabama and Oklahoma. If I had to go 10-2, I would pick Oklahoma and Georgia. And just because I think those two teams are going to be pretty good. I'm not buying Alabama. I don't know why everybody is, other than the name.
I don't know.
You got a new quarterback. They didn't fix it. I mean, you talk to the people down there. New quarterback did not fix the offensive line, did not fix the running back situation. I read an article the other day on Bama Online, BOL. Who's going to play who behind Ryan Williams and the freshman from last year that was really good? Who's going to be your depth at receiver? So, your one injury at receiver, I mean, you're really close to having a bad offense. Now they can start Keelon Russell. What, you know, and that's another thing. If they start Keelon Russell, he's special enough to make a lot of things happen on his own. Hmm. But I don't think they're going to do that. And this is a gut feeling. Maybe I'm wrong. But they didn't really like playing Jalen Milroe, did they? No. And that's kind of Keelon Russell. They were kind of, eh. They like playing Ty Simpson quite a bit, didn't they? Why? Because Ty Simpson runs their system. And Austin Mack, the other quarterback, who's not as dynamic as Russell, can run their system. But if you're running a system and you don't have very many receivers and you don't have any running backs and your offensive line can't block, it doesn't really matter, does it? And then on defense, their front seven isn't really the same. Now, they got an elite secondary. So I don't know. And I love Alabama, dude. My friends would kill me if they heard me. Don't blaspheme the top. Oh, Harrison said UF did. I remember they lost to Oregon State by 20, 30 points in the bowl. Ryan says everything at Publix is good. I do miss me some Publix subs. So Ghost Flame may be going to Gainesville. I told my wife if it wasn't a noon game, we would go. But I don't want her first experience at the Swamp to be a noon game. Mm. Quantrill wraps it up here. Brad is good at giving an alternative take, which I appreciate. The scheduled take wasn't enough to seem like you're dissing Carolina, but enough to get us talking. I can appreciate that take, too. I appreciate That's most good. Of Brad's takes. Some are very puzzling to me. I guess if I've ever gotten frustrated about a Brad Crawford take, it's because he's not considering all angles. But with this, looks like he has considered all angles, you know. I don't in A&M at home, guys, I mean, it's the same story with them. They're super talented. But were they really that good last year? The last 2 years, have they just bullied Carolina? You're like, my God, that team's so good. The way you can't win? No. No. So, man, it's at home. It's at Willie B. It's an early kickoff, I think. A&M's early, or maybe midday.
Afternoon.
Afternoon kickoff.
Yeah, so it'll be, the midday. Not midday, but, you know, middle.
So, anyway. Oregon has 12 top 100 guys in their secondary. Cam says doing it with former Gamecock Chris Hampton heading up recruiting. Yeah, he's the D coordinator too. They've got a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll see. But you could tell they had a lot of money when Indiana beat their ass senseless last year. Despite the fact they have one of the best coaches in America and Dan Lanning, and he can coach the millionaires. Indiana, the first play of the game, everybody's talking about Dante Moore. That one play sticks with me, dude.
You could tell it
drops
just
back like it's like in 7-on-7, the first pass, nobody's really playing defense, dude. It's almost like, all right, we're not going to try. Everybody's going to agree we're not trying here. A kid from Indiana steps in front of it and houses it. Total domination sense. And you can see their body. I mean, they were like, well, gosh, we guess we better go out to our hotel in Atlanta. Who's going to the Gold Club tonight? You know, it's so-and-so's turn to pay.
That's right. It's your turn.
Did you get that $20,000 out the ATM before we left Oregon? You know? So, yeah. But money makes the world go around. Anyway.
Yeah, man.
We got to get out of here. We're already over. I want to give you a little extra.
Yeah, we had a little extra. Might as well. Wide open Wednesday. So,
yes, tomorrow is Thirsty Thursday. Donald W. Reynolds, Razor. You see, I told you Arkansas needed money. Razorback Stadium, Reynolds Razorback Stadium, is now going to become community financial. It's going to be community / America Razorbacks, community / America Razorback Stadium.
Community America Razorback. I don't know, man. Heck is that?
They need to go back to the days where they named, like, they had War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock. That was a war. Yeah, stadiums were like memorials.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So Community America is a credit union. in Missouri.
In Missouri, huh?
There is no slash. It's just no space either, apparently.
Community of America. One word.
Community of America.
Well, Carolina plays Founders Park. That's a...
I mean, you know, yeah. That's Federal Credit Union as well, yeah.
So we'll see. All right. Quantrill goes, Davis, Community America, what? What's that? I'm Donald W. And I, if I'm Donald W. Reynolds' family, I'm pissed.
Apparently, their check didn't clear.
Way to poop all over them.
Or the limitations ran out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, can't, nothing you can do now. All right, for the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, special thanks to Mike Morgan and Jamie Bradford for a fantastic first 2 hours. This is ITG. Don't forget, we are off starting Friday. Hiatus, but we'll have more content on YouTube. Also, thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com. Join today for $1. Get all the own three stuff, all of our stuff, all of Central stuff, and a great message board, the Insiders Forum. It's been around for 30 years. Come interact with me, Mad Dog, and everybody else. And only for $1 right now. So it's a two, sort of a two-month-ish special now. Going to 1 month in a couple weeks. So anyway, we'll be back. Thank you for everyone that got in the McKellar Enterprises chat box on Wide Open Wednesday, too, by the way. We love it when you guys come in on Wednesday. It makes our jobs a lot easier. Also, is a fun conversation. All right, folks, we're out. Have a great Wednesday. Bye.